Hallelujah. All this vacationing and all this stuff is just, you're just kind of like through the summertime. If you're a pastor, you never know from one week to another what's going on. And we thought at one time tonight with the praise team, if things had went the way they were talking about going, it would have just been me and Chris trying to sing. So thank God the girls made arrangements and did different things to where they could kind of help us out a little bit. And others, they're vacationing and gone. And so we just do what we can and with what we got to do, right? Come on, now, as long as we got Jesus in the house, that's all that matters. Amen. Yeah, praise God. Go with me to Job, the book of Job, chapter 14. The book of Job, if you find Psalms and back up, you'll find Job pretty quick. Job chapter 14, and I'm going to look at verse 14. Now, I'm not doing a funeral, but I want to read this scripture, okay? Job says this, "If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come." Now, for some reason, God just started quickening me about this. And of course, we know that Job's talking about his resurrection, when he dies, when he's going to heaven, you know. But he's asking the question, you know, if a man dies, will he live again? Well, you know, thank God we have the New Testament also. And we know and realize that, yes, a man will live again. Matter of fact, we've learned from the Word of God that man is an eternal being and will live forever, always. And whether you choose to go to heaven to live forever or you choose to go to hell to live forever, either way, you will live forever. So to answer Job's question, yes, a man will live again. And then he starts talking about, well, I'm just going to keep living the life for God until my change comes. In other words, he said, I'm just going to keep living for God till I die. And then think, because he was looking toward his change when he died, going changing from here to there. But listen to how the Message Bible says it. I like it really good. He says, if we humans die, will we live again? That's my question. All through these difficult days, I keep hoping, waiting for the final change for resurrection. So that's what he's talking about. And so when we start looking this and he's talking about the change, we have to realize that definitely change comes. And change will come, especially when we get ready for the resurrection. Listen, let me go with me to 1 Corinthians and let me show you another scripture here. Because we're talking about change tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse 42. Now we could back up some more, but I just want to kind of take it from there. And Paul writing here to the church at Corinth, he says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that which was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. As is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. Now, Paul spent a lot of time helping us to recognize and to realize there's some changes that are going to take place when it comes time for our resurrection. When we die, when we leave this place, changes are going to take place. See, that change takes place whether we're here when the resurrection happens, when the rapture happens, or when we leave this earth. When a born-again child of God leaves this earth, then we start making those day changes just like that the Bible's talking about. Now, also, when that person that's not born again, that's going to happen to them, except what happens is we go from having this mortal body to having an immortal body. The immortal body is to live forever, whether in heaven or in hell in punishment for eternity. You see, again, we're eternal beings, and so this natural has to be put off, and the spirit has to come and take place. Our bodies will be changed. So when Job talks about his change, he's talking about those kind of changes. Now, here's the thing you got to do. You got to make sure that your change is going to be for heaven and not hell. Come on, your preparation for eternity better be heavenly eternity instead of a destruction eternity. And that's up to us. Whether on this side of the earth, we got to make that decision now. Because this change doesn't happen until the life leaves our body. And then that's when all that change begins. And so Paul begins to encourage, especially in verse 58 there, he says, know this, that your labor is not in vain. What's he saying? Well, it's not vain to serve God now. Understand that? That's what he's saying. Everything that we go through, and you know, people think we're stupid, and you know, they think that, you know, Christians are, Jesus is just a crutch because we're weak-minded and all that. One thing about it, it's not in vain. Let them talk, let the heathen rage, let them do what they want to do. We're going to live for God because we know that heaven is our eternity. Amen. We know that heaven's going to be our home when we leave this earth. And that's not in vain. We're not doing what we're doing for no reason. We will be rewarded. Heaven will be our reward, praise God. We'll get to have all that stuff that the Bible says we can have. And so when we start looking at this, we understand that there is change, and we see that change will come when we die. But what about now? What about change now? You see, and that's what I'm more interested in. You know, the main thing is that you get saved so you can go to heaven. But once you get saved, something's going to happen. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:17, you're all very familiar with it, but we'll still read it just so you can see it. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Now, look at that. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Do you see that? Old things are passed away. Well, you see, that's kind of what Paul's talking about with the natural body, except here we're talking about our spiritual body, our inside, the inward person. This outside body is housing the person that we really are. So when you become a new creature in Christ, what happens is the change happens on the inside. And so in order for there to become something new, there has to be a change. Amen. And so when you start seeing this, just like when our bodies leave the earth, there's going to be a change. Once we receive Jesus Christ, there's a spiritual change that takes on the inside of us. The Spirit comes to live on the inside of us, our spirit is made new. Amen. We become that new creation that the Bible's talking about. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes to live in us then, He will begin to urge us to live righteously. Amen. And when it talks about old things passing away and all things becoming new, that's the change that begins to take place in us. Now, we're instantly born again. We're instantly born again, okay? But we have lived with this body so long now that this body still has earthly tendencies, fleshly tendencies, and that's where the Holy Spirit comes in and urges us, leads, guides, and directs us to keep us on the right path. So there's a change that takes place immediately, but then there's this change that is progressive as we grow in the Lord and the knowledge of the Lord. Amen. The Bible gives us examples of like growing up like babies. We start out when you first get born again, you're really just a spiritual baby. And you have to learn how to grow. And Paul even likens the way we grow. He says, when you first start out, you start out on milk, just on the simple stuff. But he said, you can't stay on milk. Matter of fact, he upbraided one of the churches and said, listen, I've tried to give you meat, but I can't give you meat. You're still too immature. You're still too carnal. So I'm going to have to go back to giving you milk again. See, God's desire is, and all you that know about kids, you know that a baby can't live all of its life on milk. A person can. Right? It starts out on milk because that's all it can handle. Its digestive system can't take more than that milk. But then after a little while, you start giving it a little soft food. Right? And it can handle that. Its body can handle that. Then after a while, then you can get it just a little. And you're giving them solid things, You start out first, you're taking care to make sure, and then you start just throwing stuff at them, right? Right? Come on. Here, just take it. Quit crying. Here, come on. So what I'm saying is, as we grow, then, you get to be an adult, and of course, kids like it pretty quick now. You start eating steak and meat, some things you have to chew on a while before you can be able to even swallow it, and then you can digest that. Well, it's the same thing with our spiritual growth. We start out that way, and we start out simple, but then God expects you and I to continue to grow in the Word and learn the Word and get into the deeper, meatier things of the Word of God. See, the trouble with most of the church is they want to stay in that baby stage. Come on. The truth is most pastors are keeping their congregation still in that infant stage because they're not bringing them from the immaturity into maturity. They're keeping them right there where they got born again. They've still got them, there in the nursery, right? Where all the newborns are at, and they're not helping them to grow out of that. And it's your job and my job, especially as a pastor, it's my job to help you grow and mature to where you can handle the strong meat. Amen. And the Bible says that belongs to those that by reason of use have their senses exercised. What's that mean? That means that you start practicing the Word. You're seeing the Word work. So you're working the Word and that's helping you to grow and be able to handle stronger and stronger meat. Stronger and stronger Word. You guys know things that you've been taught and you've learned from the Word of God that would blow some people's minds. Matter of fact, they can't handle it because they've not been matured to that place. When you start talking about healing, when you start talking about having authority on the earth and be able to declare things and it come to pass. That messes with people. I was burning some boxes the other day up here after all the drum stuff came and everything. And here come this breeze up. And if you've ever burned cardboard, you know what'll happen sometimes. That wind will try to grab it up and take it up in the air. And I was right back here in the back. I just looked and I said, wind, in Jesus' name, you stop that. Now, anybody been around there, they said, he is crazier than a bat. But you know what? I got my boxes burned and it didn't blow away. Amen. See, I believe the Word. And I believe that in the name of Jesus, I can say things and it'll come to pass. Now, you don't have to believe it if you don't want to. But I've been speaking over all the storms that have been coming through and all this stuff that's been. Amen. It's been coming to pass. I believe it. Why? Because God says so. You and I are the representatives of God on this earth. Come on, you've got to realize that. We're to have dominion here on this earth. We're the ones that have the authority on the earth. And see, that's the problem. Most folks give the authority to the devil and he just does what he wants to. But you see, you can take your stand. When Shammah stood and kept his pea patch, everybody else might have got theirs taken, but he got his kept because he didn't allow the enemy to steal it. The Bible says neither give place to the devil. And so when we understand that we've been changed, and see, now you can't do that if you're not born again and have the Holy Spirit and have learned the Word so that you know that you have authority to do that. Amen. That's why baby Christians have a hard time with that, because they've not learned from the Word that they have authority to do that, and that they can do those kind of things according to the Word of God in the name of Jesus. Amen. See, that's a change that'll take place in you here on this earth. You don't wait till you get to heaven. You're not going to have to declare and have authority and do all that stuff in heaven. We need it now. Right? We need it here on this earth. We need to be speaking and pulling down strongholds here on this earth. There won't be any strongholds when we get to heaven. Come on. Jesus will be there. Praise God. We'll be there with Him. Hallelujah. But you've got to understand, there right now, there's changes that have got to take place in us. And as we've been born again, now that spiritual change taken on the inside, you and I have to have this change going on all the time in us. There's nowhere really for us to stop. Sometimes we get complacent. Sometimes we get satisfied. Sometimes we sit back, and that's when we're messing up. Come on, you got to be pressing it all the time. Let me show you something here. Go with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You're right there in chapter 5. Just back up to chapter 3. Look at verse 17 here. It says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Now, Paul's implying here that there is a continual change going on. Notice that. We're all changed from glory to glory. And the Message Bible kind of puts it like this. This is the same verse in the Message. He said, "All of us, nothing between us and God, our faces shining with the brightness of His face, and so we are transfigured much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our life and we become like Him." We become like Him. Yes, you've got to understand that there's changes going on with us, and that's God's will for us to become like Him. Come on, you can't become like Him unless you talk like Him and act like Him and believe like Him. See, I mean, think about it for a minute. If you're going to be like Him, then you're going to mimic Him. And you can say, "Oh, now that's just not scriptural." Well, Jesus must have been really unscriptural, because He said, "I only do what my Father tells me to do, and I only say what He tells me to say." Right? And we are to do the same thing. Paul was bold enough to tell us to be imitators of me. Follow me as I follow Christ. Well, see, that's he could say that. Why? Because Christ followed God. Paul followed Christ. We can follow Paul. And we should be people that somebody else can follow. We ought to be someone that follows Christ so people can follow us like we follow Christ. Amen. And you see, that's not being bragging. That's not being boastful. That's not being prideful. That's being what the Word of God declares you are. See, you're kings and priests. You're royalty. Sons and daughters of God. Come on. See, you. God says, "I want my kids to be just like me. And I want to change them from glory to glory. I want to take them from level to level to level. I want to take them from the milk all the way to their eating the finest." That's what God wants for us. He wants us to be able to take that, be able to receive that. And it's hard for us because we look at our infirmities. We look at our frailness. We look at our abilities. We look at our talents. But you see, God's not looking at any of that. God's looking at the anointing that He's placed on your life. And the anointing destroys any yoke that the enemy's tried to put on us. Come on. God says, "I've anointed you to do business on the earth for me. I can't do business on the earth for God unless I can do what He does. Come on. And I know this is pretty powerful, but, you know, we're the Wednesday night crew, and if you're watching and you're having a hard time swallowing this, just go look in the Word and see what you see. You'll find out it's the truth. You'll find out that God has anointed us. We're His body, so if we're His body, then we have to operate like He operated. Amen. Jesus would have never told us, the works I do, greater works shall you do, because I go to the Father. He would have never told us that if we couldn't do that. Now somebody said, well, what kind of greater works can you do greater than Jesus did? Well, you see, it's not necessarily you do something greater than He did. It's just there's a greater amount of us now to be able to do that. Jesus was one person. He is working in one area. Now we can work in every area. That'd be a greater work, wouldn't it? Come on now. You know, you can have ministry right here in Sagersville, but if we had a church in every town, would that not be a greater ministry? Sure. And that's what the Lord was talking about. He said, I've anointed each one of you with the same anointing that I had on me so that you can go out and you can do signs and wonders and miracles. Amen. You can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Isn't that what the Word said? There's gifts of the Spirit, that Holy Spirit that came to live on the inside of you. There's gifts that He has. And He will operate those gifts through you according to my will, God says. When God wills it, that'll operate through you. And see, here's the thing. We're just kind of like, what's it called? A marionette or the little dummy or whatever. What do you call them things? You know, in a way, okay, when I say that, I mean all the power's coming from Him. We just got to be willing to be used of Him. Now, I'm not saying He makes us move every move because we have a free will. But I'm saying if you'll allow Him to, He will work through you. Come on. You know, I really want to be just the dummy and let the Holy Ghost be the ventriloquist. Come on, don't you? Come on, let Him say out of my mouth what I ought to be saying. And I won't say nothing wrong then. Come on, everything I say will be of God. But sometimes I let my mouth get in the way. How about you? See? So we got to be careful here. But it's all part of change that God wants to take place in us as we grow and mature as children of God. And we have to see that. Just like the change is going to happen when we die, there should be changes happening right now because we're alive. And the more that we seek after the things of God, the more we're going to become like Him. Look here over in Romans chapter 12, because this, again, familiar scripture, but you still need to be able to look at it and see this. Romans chapter 12, because here's what gives us really and begins to help us make the changes that we need to make in order to be like Him. Notice here, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. All right, number one thing here, notice you just totally commit yourself to Him. You present your bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, it's not my will, but your will, God. What you want me to do, that's what I'll do, not what I want to do. Amen. You say, well, you know, I don't know now. That's pretty... Well, see, that's what Jesus did in the garden. Lord, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me, but not my will be done, your will be done. It wasn't an easy thing for Him because He asked three times. Right? But He surrendered wholly to God. And Paul's telling us here, as he wrote to the Romans, he says, you've got to present your bodies a living sacrifice to God. Because, and notice he said, holy. And right? But he says, that's just your reasonable service. If Jesus Christ is willing to give His life for you, die on a cross for you, it's just reasonable that you surrender to Him. Surrender your body to Him. God, this is your body. Do what you want to with. Matter of fact, the Bible says, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Amen. But then he goes on and he says this, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice that. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, that's part of this change we're talking about. Your mind being renewed is your mind being changed from natural thinking to spiritual thinking. Just like the body's got to go from a natural to a spiritual, your thinking here on this earth has got to go from natural to spiritual. When somebody says, well, that can't be done, you've got to realize I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Come on. When somebody says, well, that, you know, that's impossible, you've got to realize all things are possible to them that believe. See the difference? I mean, there's a great contrast between thinking natural and thinking spiritual. And so that's some things that's a little hard for us. That's one of those things that we got to just kind of gradually go on. And, you know, when you start getting into the stronger meat of that, of the spiritual, people sometimes look at you real funny. They just think you've lost your rocker. Well, then, you know, I tell you what's happened to them. They went Bible crazy. I can remember back, you know, when I was just a young boy, you know, that they would call people Bible crazy. And I never did really know what that meant. I thought maybe the Bible drove them crazy, and apparently that's what they thought too. But I'm going to tell you something. There ain't nothing about the Bible that'll drive you crazy. Amen. The only thing about the Bible that makes somebody crazy is if they don't believe it. Right? Now, you're crazy if you don't believe the Bible, but believing the Bible won't make you crazy. What it'll do is make you powerful. In the name of Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about us making ourselves somebody here. In case somebody takes that the wrong way. No, I'm talking about what we're supposed to be through the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. Because of His death, burial, and resurrection, we are able to do this for Him here on this earth because that's our commission on this earth. Amen. God has called us to do that. That's why He's got us here on this earth to do business for Him. Let me give you that one in the Message Bible. Okay, Romans 12:1-2. He says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Isn't that good? Don't let the world drag you down on their level. You're not there. Come on. You're not there. Just the simple fact that you've been born again means you're not there. And then the more you grow spiritually, the higher you get away from that level. Come on. The farther you move. Not that you're saying that you're any better, but you're on a different level. Come on, see, there's no respecter of persons with God, but you can grow in your faith, and there are different levels of faith. Amen. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believe. That means some people can believe more than somebody else can believe. Amen. Why? Because they've exercised. Remember, by reason of use. They've exercised their senses. In other words, I tried God out and it worked. Come on now. Anybody ever try something for the first time? It's a little scary. Okay. Of course, you all know a lot about our boat adventures and stuff that we've had. But, you know, I have a jet boat that runs in about, you know, that much water. And, you know, because it doesn't have a prop on the back of it and whatever. But I'm going to tell you something. The first time you go out and you start through some water that you can see rocks sticking up around and you know, and you're going through a little path and you don't know if it'll do it or not. But, you know, you got to try. Right? You know, you got to see how thin a water it'll go through. Especially if you think there's some fish in it, you got to try getting there. Well, you know what? Once you go through that place one time, you realize, hey, that worked. So that makes you just a little braver to try somewhere else. Now, I've got spiritual implication here. Once you try God with something and you see that it works, it makes you anxious to try something else and try something else. Use your faith a little bit more. I'm going to stand for this, and I'm going to stand in faith for that. I'm going to believe God for this. I'm going to believe God for that. You see, and that's what Paul's trying to get us to see about this thing is that, you know, once we start doing what God says to do, we present ourselves to Him. We're renewing our mind through the Word of God. We're not allowing what other people think about us. What other people want to do and how they want to operate. Can I tell you one more little fishing thing? Is it all right? I mean, you all know me. Yeah, but this was a spiritual application, okay? There was a tournament, I believe it was last year, down on Cherokee Lake. And y'all, if y'all know anything about some of the big pro bass fishermen, most of them get sponsors, and they've got the 20-foot boats, they've got the 21-feet boats, they've got 300 horsepower engines on them, and you know they can go fast and they look good and all that. Well, last year there was one guy, Keith Poche's his name. He won the tournament. He's got a 17-foot aluminum boat with a 115 horsepower motor on the back of it, but he's got it designed so that he can raise his motor up and get his prop up to keep it from hitting when he goes in shallow water. He's actually got his water intake on the bottom of his boat, so his prop can be out of the water and his motor's still pumping water and still running all right. Now the reason I'm telling you that is because another angler who loves to fish in shallow water was in his 21-foot boat because he's getting one furnished for him. And he went up just as far as he could go in that boat. But he couldn't go any farther because that boat was too big to go any farther. And he couldn't go in any shallow water. And I'm watching that. He's sitting there. And all of a sudden, here comes a boat by him. And he even makes a comment. He said, "There goes Keith." And he said, "He goes up through, if he gets up past that up through there, we've had it." And you go up and you hear him up there and he gets in shallow water. Your boat goes, "Wow, wow, wow." I mean, he got in real shallow water, but he keeps on going. He goes to where nobody else can't go. And when he gets up there, he starts catching big smallmouth and catching fish, and he wins the tournament up there where nobody else could get to him. Now, here's the thing. It wasn't that other people couldn't fish up there. It was legal to fish up there. But you had to get there before you could catch them. Anybody see the spiritual implication here? You can get there if you want to get there. But you may have to make some compromises. You might not get to kick back in your luxury 21-foot boat with the big old motor. You might not get to just lay around on your iPad and kick back on the couch and watch Netflix series after Netflix series. You may have to compromise and get into the Word of God. You're right, you will. And you may have to pray longer and believe God more, but eventually you'll get where somebody else can't get. And you can achieve what other people can't because you were willing to go the extra mile to get there. And that's what God's asking us all to do. Come on, make the changes that are necessary to get you where I need you to be. Allow those changes in your life. And I won't tell you that it's easy because this flesh loves this flesh loves to do. Right? Come on, this flesh don't love to just go in and sit down and read the Bible when you can go watch something on TV. Come on now. This flesh doesn't love for you to go in and pray for an hour. Right? Anybody else's mind while you're praying? You're going through your head all the things you got to do? It's amazing that you don't got to do nothing until you start to pray. Right? Can't think of a thing I need to do right now until I start to pray, and then all of a sudden all these things are coming. You see, that's going that extra mile. That's making that change. That's being willing to do what God wants you to do in order to win this thing. And I promise you, I've read the end of the book, we win. Praise God. But at what level we win at, another thing. Amen. You know, in those tournaments, you know, 20th place still pays some money, but it don't pay what first place pays. Amen. You see, I don't know about you, but I won't be in first place. I won't allow God to make those changes in me. So notice that in that it said that you would be changed from the inside out when you fix your attention on God. Listen to this now. Who or whatever you has your attention is what will change you. In other words, if I'm around somebody and they've got my attention and I'm hanging around them, then I will be influenced by them whether I know it or not. It's true. When you're around people, you'll pick up their tendencies. You'll pick up bywords. You'll start saying some things they say. Come on, isn't that right? I don't know how long it was we were saying, I can't tell whence it was. Can y'all remember that? We were saying that because that was Stevie's line in when we did the resurrection play. You know, for a long time, Damon back there would holler, stay with it. You know, and a lot of people started, that's when you're around people, you pick up things like that. Well, you know, if you're around the wrong people, you pick up those things too. Again, hanging it around. Now, I said who or whatever. Listen to this. Whatever has your attention, has your heart. Whatever has your attention has your heart. Have you noticed you get around people and all they know how to talk about is their work? Right? Come on. You know, you get around. I have to be real careful because I do like to fish. But, you know, I gave up fishing for Jesus, and I fish some still, but Jesus is first. I'll still talk about it, but I'm going to talk about Jesus more. Amen. And you know, it doesn't mean you don't like to do something, but it's about having your right perspectives and things. Don't mean you don't like to do things in the world. It's that you just don't put those things in front of Jesus. Amen. You know, I like to vacation. I really do. I like to travel. Pastor Ed, not a big traveler, but I like to travel, do different things like that. But since we've been in this church, I don't know, maybe when we went to Hawaii, maybe, is the only times I think that we've missed Sunday when it came to vacation time. We've been here now 26 years, right? Coming on 27. You know, we always plan our time off from Monday to Saturday, if it's possible at all. So it's been very few exceptions. You say, well, you know, you deserve some time. I understand that, and there's nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying where my attention's at, where my heart's at. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense to anybody? You know, there's been Wednesday nights, you know, we've gone and done some things and whatever, but I'm just saying that we have to make sure that we're keeping our focus and our attention on God because we've been changed. I used to, when I got off work, Brother Tim sometimes would pick me up. Tim Tackett, going to be with the Lord. Sometimes I would work 4 days, and on that fourth morning when I'd get off a night shift, Tim would be sitting on the job with the boat and the truck, and we'd just leave from there and stay gone the 4 days I was off. I mean, you know, that's what's got your attention, right? You know. But it's not like that anymore. Still like to do things, like to go, whatever. But I've decided and made up my mind, since I've been changed, I want to go with a full change. I want to seek Him first. Amen. And that's what we should all be doing. So we got to be careful. Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I looked up the word treasure. I thought it was interesting. It means deposit. Deposit. In other words, wherever you're depositing yourself, that's what's got your attention. Amen. So, if we really want full spiritual change to come to us, what we have to do is fix our attention on God. Amen. Stand to your feet with me. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, bless You, and praise You, God. Lord, help us to fix our attention on You. Let us, as Your Word says, let us not be weary in well doing, because we know, Father God, in due season we're going to reap. if we faint not. And we're not going to faint, Father. Matter of fact, we're going to press in and we're going to give you glory. We're going to give you honor. Thank you for our change, God, and thank you for our consistent change towards you to make us more like you. And we just bless you and thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. If you're in this place and you need us to pray with you, or you need Jesus in your life, or you just need us to lay hands on you, believe God with you. We want to give you an opportunity to come. Anybody need prayer? All right, lift up your hands. Father, I thank you. I bless you and praise you, Father God, for who you are. Thank you, Lord. It's your will for us to be changed to be like you.